his shoe don't make the man so prim, prim. So keep on with that like I won't whip back around the net like the gym scene. Don't worry about this, I'm sure about this. If you know what I mean, shut it off.
For the Honorable J.P. Brown.
Welcome to Fathers and Family Court. I am your host, J.P. Brown. I'd like to take this time to welcome back all of our return listeners, as well as give a first-time welcome to any first-time listeners out there. Now, if you are a first-time listener of this podcast, brace your motherfucking self. This is a Father's Rights podcast where we talk about father's rights, parental alienation, as well as the effects of the $50 billion a year business known to everybody as Family Court. Now, in season 2, season 3, and now season 4 of Fathers and Family Court, we've been having conversations, in-depth conversations with fathers who are in Family Court all across the nation. And we've been coming to find that these reports are pretty similar. These dads don't feel like they get to see their children. They don't feel like they really have an equal say. They don't really feel like they're being seen as anything but their title, the child support payment. I almost called it a Title IV payment, but that's what it is. If fatherlessness is such a problem in this community, in this society, and in today's world, then we probably should start talking about the root of it. And if we think it's all men are just bad in today's society and blah, 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 blah. No, that's not true. What we do have is we have a court system out there making hand over fist in dollars. Now, I started this podcast because I wanted to not have to tell the same damn thing to my people when they asked about how court was going. And it really helped express myself. It was a way to express what was happening on a blank piece of paper. So I started it. And then after a while, I realized, like, let's talk about to other dads about what's happening here in a little bit. What their situation is. Let's capture that. So that's where we went with it. And we've been here since. And we're not going to stop. Because this shit is never going to stop happening. And you know what? These dads need these conversations. I'm having these one-on-one conversations. Everything you hear me say to these dads in these podcasts, I got that shit down to different levels of spiels. I got the podcast forum where I can sit here and listen to it. I got the one where I'm talking to a friend who's just sitting here or someone who I got their time a little bit. I can go in depth there. And then there's the fucking drive-by one where you just, it's someone out in public. You ain't about to have no hour to talk to someone in no public. It's real quick. Hey, man, okay, let me tell you real quick. Type 4, Section D. And some of them get it, and some of them don't, but I don't give a fuck. I plan to see. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'll send them the podcast link, because some of them really be dialed in. What is that? Write it down, they'll say. You know what I'm saying? Tell me, write that down. Okay, yeah, here. These conversations need to be had, and nothing is going to happen until people know that every time a fucking payment is made, they're making money. Now listen, the problem with this whole thing is 21 dads a week commit suicide due to child access issues. That's a problem because that's not really talked about, and if nobody knows money is the root of this, if they're chasing money, you know what I mean? It's the money that they're getting is not going to the community, it's going to their pockets. That's another thing. If they took this money from what they make from these families breaking up and splitting up, if they can take this tragedy, this money that they're receiving from this tragedy, and put it back in the communities, and if you're not going to fix the schooling system in the communities, if you're not going to give it back to the community, then to the schools, to the kids in that way, well, then here's what you can do. You can open up free counseling centers for couples you know what I mean? For husbands and wives, couples, you know what I'm saying? First, so that they don't fucking get, they don't have to get a divorce. They don't have to get to that point. Make the shit free. They don't even need Medicaid. Fund it with the money that you're stealing from the broken couples. Do that. Do something, anything. But we got to have the conversation in order for everyone to have the conversation. Right now, nobody even knows it's happening. Everybody thinks child support is just for supporting a kid. You know what I mean? But it's not. It's for courts, judges to put money in their pockets. There's certain situations where those judges aren't out there bloodhounding for money. But when it's probable for them, you know what I mean? If you had all of them out open to the public and all the transcripts out in the open, I think you'd find, if a true search was done in every county, when it's probable for them, they after that dad. They don't give a fuck what kind of dad he is. They want that money. It's not about his money. It's about what his money makes more money do out the machine. You all know the cycle of Title IV, Section D. Anyways, listen, if you know of a dad out there, man, who needs to hear this podcast, if you hear something in here that you hear that you like and you want to share it, if you can't remember what you heard, take the link, share it. That's the best thing to do. If you know a dad out there who doesn't get to see his kids, we all know one or five or 10 or 15 or 20 of them. So if we know a dad out there, take this podcast, copy the link. That's all you got to do. Go to it, copy the three dots and share it. You know what I'm saying? Copy it to your clipboard and voila, share it to them three dads. Tell them to listen. Yeah, these podcasts are long, but if you really got some time, which a lot of us do, we'll give it to watching a fake TV show. These stories on this podcast are absolutely real. You like true stories? You like true crime? Here you go. Have a little sip of this. It's the real thing right here. These fathers are telling real stories. So anyways, if you do know a dad out there who wants to be on the show or he needs somebody to talk to, what you can do is do this here. Send them this as well. Fathers, the letter N, familycourtpodcast@gmail.com. That's fathers, letter N, familycourt@gmail.com. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Fathers, letter N, familycourtpodcast@gmail.com. That's fathers, letter N, familycourtpodcast@gmail.com. So yeah, we got through it. But yeah, you reach out to me there. All right, man. So I just want to get right back into it. We're interviewing guests, and I'm gonna be calling and talking to them at a fast pace. As I stated, I've been away. I'm on a mission right now to talk to dads, educate them, tell them my story, tell them, get their story, tell them what I got to tell them about the Title IV, Section D. I am on a mission. So that's what I'm going to do until God tells me slow up. So that's where we at. Let's get into today's episode with Elwin, who will be calling from Massachusetts, but his court case for his kids is out of Mississippi. Again, listen to what Elwin has to say and try to figure out what it is in this podcast and this interview that you're supposed to take for you. Each story is unique. Each story has its own little layout. There's a lot of similarities into these stories, but the reality is each one of these stories is its own, you know. Figure out what you can take from it. What are you being shown? So with that, let's get right into it. Enjoy. So on today's episode of Fathers and Family Court, today we'll be talking to Elwin. Elwin is 48 years old. He currently lives in Massachusetts, but he is from Mississippi. Had a court. His family court case is out of Mississippi. Now, Elwin has a stepson who is now 21 years old. He raised from 11 months old. He has two other children, which are 18 years old and 12 years old. We both will be learning about Elwin's case together. I really have talked to him for a couple minutes prior to the podcast, but I have no idea what he's going to say here about his case. And I'm just super interested to learn about what he has to say. And I really hope he can say something to touch somebody's heart or ears out there, or that somebody can relate to, and maybe what he has to say can help them get through their situation. I'm excited to hear what he has to say. Without any further ado, how you doing today, Elwin?
I'm doing fine.
That's great to hear. So listen, before we get into this, I always like to ask, did you have a father at home growing up?
I did have a father in the home growing up. My father passed when I was 9 years old. So after then, I was raised by my mom pretty much with three other brothers and sisters. So
I'm sorry to hear that, man. And this is actually pretty pretty amazing, because you did have a father there. It's just that he passed when you were 9. So it's like through those crazy years, you know what I mean? That it just goes to show how much you wanted to be there for your children. And then when you had the stepson, you even showed up for him. You know what I mean? So that's pretty amazing. So all right, man. So let's get into it. Where does your story all start?
Well, my story all started in Mississippi. I met this young lady, and she had a child, and the child's father wasn't in his life, so we got married, and so I basically raised him, and we also had 2 other kids that came along, following our marriage, and. Whatnot, but I don't know. A lot of people heard a lot of things about Mississippi, that we have dirt floors and we have, but all that is not true. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty much normal like every place else. Mm-hmm. But it's much more laid back in Mississippi.
Right. So, are you from a rural area? Is it a city or?
I'm actually from Oxford, Mississippi, which is the home of Ole Miss Rebels.
Okay, okay. It's a college town.
Yeah, it's a college town. So it wasn't too much of a rural area, but, the schools there in Oxford, we have a school for kids that live in the rural areas and the city kids. And the schools are less than, 2 to 3 miles apart.
Right, and I listen to a lot. I follow a lot of sports talk radio, and yeah, one of the hosts. A lot of those guys, they're so into college football that one of their goals is to go to all the arenas and check out all the atmospheres and tailgating atmospheres. But he said when he went to Ole Miss, he was like, "Man, there's clearly a problem there that folks need to talk about more." You know what I'm saying? In the tailgating situation. But the best part is, man, is that we need more time. You know what I mean? Time, and that's why we need to spread more awareness too. I think there's a lot of people where I'm from who are raised and went to school in these cities and in suburban areas around Detroit, Metro Detroit, that, man, I don't even think that they're aware of the history of a Philadelphia, Mississippi, or a, really in depth. I don't think they're taught this, and it's messed up, because we need to spread awareness. But yeah, man, it's dope that you say that, and I'm really excited to have a dad on here. From Mississippi, can teach me more about it. So listen, did you see, where did this thing start to take a, first of all, how was being a dad to your own children? How did that feel?
It felt good. I mean, we had a house built, we had a 5-bedroom house built in a rural part of, in Batesville, Mississippi, which is about 24 miles away from Oxford. I felt good raising my kids, and I was even raising my stepson. We all thought we were a happy family at the time, but problems come up, and things don't always work out like you would think they are or would be. So, but yeah, she took a turn, and so we all, I left everything. I left the house, left everything in it. I didn't want anything. I didn't want the kids filling out a place with things coming off the walls and furniture being moved out, and we have an empty room here.
Yeah.
So I left everything in there just for the kids to still feel like it's home.
Okay.
Without me being there.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but sir, listen, you seem like a hardworking individual. Just in quick conversation here, you don't really strike me as, you take me, I don't know what you do, I don't know, but you take me as a kind-hearted kind individual in these couple minutes we've been talking. And you said that you had a 5-bedroom house built for your children. And right now, like, we're talking and you're out, you're free, you know, so you're not like a career felon. Are you a career felon?
No, I'm not a career felon. I have never been to jail, never been to prison.
Yeah, so. I was going to say but that, yeah. But I didn't just want to throw that out there in case you had like a disorderly conduct or something, or something crazy, or a suspended license or something.
No, there have been some family arguments, but, you know, the police there were kind enough to...
Yeah, no, I understand. That doesn't count. So listen, here's the thing. You had a 5-bedroom house built for your children, for your family, for your wife. You helped raise her son to the age of 21. And then real quickly, how's he doing? What does he do? What does he do?
She's kind of alienated him from me. He's kind of a loner. He's real smart.
Right.
He's attending classes at Ole Miss online.
Right.
But she, how as a man you try to get your kids to work and to try to, be able to know how to work along with other people, but his mom pushed him more toward education. So he's real smart in school. He's studying to be a nurse. So.
Okay, man, no. So even though there's certain things, bro, you're just a standout dad, man. You're passionate about your stepson, like, and you want him to be the best man he can be. So with all this being said, I mean, because he's studying to be a nurse. He's not in the streets. This young man isn't sticking folks up. That's something to be said about your resume. That's a check. That's a green check on your resume, Elwin. And that is just not fair. We'll get into it, but it's just like I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, he's a nurse. Okay, but like he could have, if there's no Elwin there through all those moments, and you still want more for him. If Elwin isn't there through all those moments, like, okay. It could be something else. It doesn't have to be. It didn't have to be a successful stepson. It just goes to show who you are. So you're a stand-up dude, right? Stand-up dad, it sounds like. I can imagine you being a great dad here. So what happens? What is it that's causing the friction?
It's pretty much while I was still living there, she... pretty much told me she had somebody else that she was pretty much talking to, and I basically got disrespected in my own house while I was sitting on the couch. She called this guy, and they had a conversation about me and while I was sitting on the couch ignoring, but I guess I had overstayed my welcome at my own house. Things were not good for a while, so, I guess she wanted me to go ahead and leave, and I really didn't want to, because, all the legal issues, with the house, didn't want to go through all that.
That you had helped build a 5-bedroom home for your family that you contributed to. I know this is kind of a vulnerable point in the conversation, but like a lot of people ask me because they know I talk to dads, like, okay, what is it? What is it that causes the division? Like, why are we? Why? What is a big reason? Like, what's the main factor? Like that this shit happens? They're like, Pete, what are you hearing? And a lot of times, this is what I'm hearing. You see, I went right to ask, what is it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I found out a lot of stuff, during our marriage. Looking at her phone when it rang, or, when a text message pop up. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that came up. I'm not going to say I didn't do my dirt as well, but if I, when I saw all that, it kind of hurt me when I, it put a scar there that could not be healed by still staying in the same place. But I tried to make it work there, but eventually it took a toll where she was pretty much, you know, on her own, want to do her own thing. And I packed the rest of my stuff that day and left out.
So you know? Now she's so, in that house still?
She's still in the house. My name is still on the house, which is a major problem with a lot of dads that buy houses and end up in divorce and wind up, separated from the family. Your name stays on the house.
Right.
You know, even though I didn't have a lawyer when I went before the judge.
You did?
Which is a major mistake. You need to have a lawyer.
Right.
Because I didn't know I can have a statute of, a time limit on having my name removed from the house. Right. Otherwise, the house would be sold. I did not know that until after it was over with. So basically, she is taking her time about getting my name off the house, which is still legal for her because I didn't have a lawyer to set a time limit.
So,
you know?
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about, man, because you've been a stand-up dad. So talk to me a little bit about the beginning of this. And have you been able to see your kids? And how was it if you weren't able to see your kids? How'd you get through that?
Well, I never really had a problem trying to see my kids outright. But you know how, you know, sometimes you set up appointments and she'll say, oh, they have a party, they're going here, they're right. doing this and that. But once I left Mississippi and came to Massachusetts, it was, I still talk to my kids every day. I bought them both phones. I pay the bills on both phones. I even got my daughter set up with a little debit credit card, so that she don't have to, you know, ask anybody for anything.
Right.
And, so when I go home, I do spend time with them and, try to get them to stay with me and as much as possible. And, I really haven't had any too much problem about not being able to see my kids. So that's a bonus.
So in your divorce, you weren't granted any visitation?
I was granted visitation for Christmas. I think we rotated birthdays, holidays, but she's not letting them come up this way to Massachusetts. I've already tried, so she's not letting them come up this way. So when I go, I just have to get them whenever I go home. So
right. What the fuck, though? That's if it's a man. Legally, though, man, you got rights. You know, well, your 18-year-old daughter, for sure. And then she don't got no say no more. You know what I mean? But
that's true.
Your 12-year-old daughter, though, for sure, man. Like, your baby, your ex-wife really don't have no say. That's where you live. That's what it is. She made the decisions. You made a decision. Now it's you got a stat. You know what I'm saying? It's really it ain't even up to her. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not really not. But I really didn't want to put, you know, my kids in that line of, you know, seeing the police show up at the house for me to be able to get them to, you know, come see me and all that, because you know, the oldest one, you know, he. You know, he kind of feels a certain way, protective of his mom. So if he sees, you know, me bringing, you know, police to the house just to, you know, bring them out to come see me, and it's making more problems, you know, friction with the kids.
Yeah. So listen, if this young man is smart, which you say he is, and I believe he is too, because I trust you on this one, then he needs a. This is like, at what point is he gonna learn what's happening? Because this shit can happen to him. You can have an illustrious job. You can go home, find you a nice little wife that work at a different hospital. You guys work different shifts. And while you're working, she's fucking with that guy. She's hanging with him for 12 hours on them 12-hour shifts. You feel me? She talking and giggling and mucking it up with his ass. Texting him when you at the crib, when you at work. You feel me? So, it can happen to him, and then his kid be in the wind. And then, so he need to, when you gonna learn? You know what I mean? But I get it. But, like, this is why I say we need to speak to this topic about our youth. So, okay, so you moved to Massachusetts, and at some point you've learned that you're on child support, right?
That's true. That's true. I learned that I had been put on child support, and we were already 4 months into it with the state of Mississippi. And the state of Mississippi and child support, they really pull out all stops coming after the father.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I did not want to go through the state, even though I was, you know, given money, because my first appointment was with a judge, and the judge, you know, calculated everything that I need to pay, and I was paying it. But I came up here to Massachusetts, and then the state came after me and said, "Oh, sir, you're 4 months behind." And I was like, "God, no, that can't be. I have all receipts." You know, always keep your receipts.
Right.
No matter what it is, always have receipts.
Right.
So I sent all my receipts in, and that's been over 2 years ago, and I still obviously haven't looked at my receipts. So, but it grew, and then she came and told them that she never got anything for the year 2020.
Right.
And the whole year, so without them doing any investigation or looking at my paper, my receipts that I sent in, they added that on to my arrears.
So how much exactly do you owe?
Right now, I talked to the lawyer, and they looked and said that I owe $10,000.
$10,000. Now tell me this.
Paying every month that I owe $10,000.
Is she, how much you got to pay on it a month, you have to, you say?
Every month I have to pay $500 a month.
Now, is she on any form of state aid? Are your kids on Medicaid or anything like that?
Well, that's kind of interesting because we were making too much money. We both worked at the hospital.
Right.
We were both making too much money and to try to have insurance for them. So she made it where she would only count her income. And they were able to get on Medicaid.
What?
So
Okay. All right. So check this out. I want you to understand, because you feel trapped, right? With this paying shit.
I do. I can't even go out of the country because I can't. My passport to get rejected because I'm in a hole for $10,000. That's bogus.
So your passport has been rejected. Okay, check this out. What do you do at the hospital? What kind of work do you do?
I'm a surgical buyer at the hospital. I buy all the staplers, staples, ligature, everything that the doctor needs in order to perform surgery, or anything for the OR suite.
Man, so when a human being's life is getting ready to be saved, changed, like you're actually okay. So when you set out the tools for everything that needs to be done for them to be saved, is that right, sir?
No, I order everything that
you order
that they put out. Now the surgical tech put everything out on the table.
Okay.
And to make sure, you know, everything's there. If not, they let me know what I need to order so that I can have it there on the table. So
you work it, but okay, all right. So you're ordering it every step, and that just goes to show, like every step to somebody, every step to everything has a process. Like, all right, yes, but like there's a human being who's coming to the hospital every day and ordering these supplies and replenishing them. That's crazy. Okay, but here's the deal. I'm feeling like you're a smart individual, and you're 48 years old, and it doesn't. Do you know what Title IV Section D is?
Well, Section B.
Section D.
No.
Okay, here it is.
Not at all.
So check this out. This is what this whole child support scam is all about. This is why Mississippi likes you and they want you. Let me tell you why. All right. Check this out. Title IV, Section D is on our Constitution. It's under the Welfare Act, put there in 1975. Okay, now here's the deal.
Hello.
Yeah. Everybody listen to Elwin's out in the community. It's good to hear. Hey, so check this out, Elwin. This is really important. So for every this incentivizes states to put dads on child support. Well, anyone, but dads usually are the target. So here's how it works. For every $1 that's paid in child support, okay, these folks get back, not the whole building, but just the judges that worked your case and the mediator, all the group of people who worked your case. For every $1 that's paid in child support, they get back 66 cents. Now, here's the tricky part. If your child is on state aid, now they're getting up to $5 per dollar that you pay. Okay? Yeah. So, if you pay $500, these folks are bringing in $2,400. But you don't see it. Your $500 goes in the machine. It goes out the other side of the machine and into your ex's hands. And she thinks, gotcha, Elwin, motherfucker. But the reality is $1,200 spit out the top of the machine that both two individuals that both work at a hospital are educated had no clue about. How's that happen?
Yeah, I know the state take their percentage. I noticed that when they told me what I had to pay because they stacked on, you know, extra money for my rearage, and then they had their little percentage, you know, added into there, and I'm like, okay.
No, you know, so it's not a percentage. It's not a percentage. Think about this, bro. Every single time a dad pays $500, the lady gets the $500. There's no percentage of that taken. They're just getting free funding for doing that. Because if you miss that payment, you'll get your license suspended. You'll be in jail. You know what I'm saying? If you take the, if you miss that payment for $10,000, your passport suspended. They try to make you a felon. You see what I'm saying? In the state where I live, we got 32 prisons, man. One of those is a boot camp. 30 of those is for me and you. And one of those is for women. So out of 40,000 plus beds, right? Only 1,100 of those are for women. This is the state of Michigan, bro. We got Detroit, Muskegon, Pontiac, Saginaw, Flint. These are hoods. You, 1,100 beds ain't even enough for the setup chicks out throughout the year. It's come on, it's 2023, man. It's, you know what I'm saying? Come on, man. So, and it, women doing crime ain't latched to the city. It's women doing crime in every city. 1,100 beds in the state of Michigan ain't enough. Like that. So, but there's just no business in it. There's no business in it. The business is in keeping the, in the other, in the large majority of the, you know, in them 30 prisons, keep that moving with making you a felon, keeping you trapped. There's no end game on putting mothers on child support here. You know what I'm saying? So it's a scam. If they get $2,400 every single time you pay $500 without you knowing, scammity scam scam. Because listen, here's the problem, Elwin. No one you know, and I do challenge you to go see for yourself. No one you know knows about Title IV, Section D. How? You're 48. You work at a hospital. Whole bunch of other really, really smart individuals. How in the holy shit do none of these folks know about Title IV, Section D when it's on our Constitution? Not to mention, they're making cheese off of keeping dads out the house. So, Elwin, you're 48, so you may remember this, may not. Now, they say, from the older community I've been checking with, back in the day, when you had food stamps, when you had food stamps in this state, the welfare man would come check to make sure your dad wasn't in the house. This is how it was in Michigan, not sure how it was there.
I think I heard of them doing a check, coming to make sure who stays in the house and walk around and see if anybody else, you know, been living there besides the woman and the child.
Now, this wouldn't be a thing for you because your pops had passed, and I'm not sure exactly what your mom had did for a living, but the thing about it is nobody actually lived there. But like the stories I kept hearing, I'm hearing a lot of stories of like people if a dude was there, have to pack him up and leave. But what is this conditioning these folks to do? Not have women and not have a man at the crib. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you a house. I'll give you medical. I'll give you bridge card. I'll give you everything. Make sure he's not there. You know what I mean?
Taking the man out of the house, though.
And it's problematic because, Elwin, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 70% of in-state operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescents, patients, and substance abuse rehabs come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show disorders come from behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prisons come from fatherless homes, and 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. And last but not least, over 90% of all of our prison population in this nation, come from single mother homes. This is problematic, but money is being made. Money is being made every time a person spends 24 hours in a prison. There's funding, 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 funding. They wouldn't build privatized prisons for no reason. It's funding in it.
That's true.
Man. And so, yeah. It feels like it should be fair that you know that these folks, every single dollar that they're asking you for, what they get when you pay it. It seems like it should be fair, not just for you, but for the women as well. You know what I mean? And this podcast came about because I'm a dad and I was targeted. You know what I'm saying? It's not being able to be a dad. When, you know what just happened, Elwin, to me? Lady gave my daughter a black eye, for sure. But check this out, Elwin. She also let him see porn, Elwin.
Oh, man.
And guess what I did? Told my judge, filed a motion, CPS investigation was involved. I guess what my judge did. Nothing. Just pretend like it never happened. Pretend like I'm just making it up like a damn false flag just to get some fucking attention. Like I would waste time. You know what I'm saying? Like I would waste time. Like these kids would just come here and make it up. They describing full scenes, right? So I waited till my motion was heard, even though my judge kept ignoring it. So you know what she did to me, man? She put me in jail for the weekends.
Oh, man.
Yeah, bro, because you know what I mean? I'm being a dad. You feel me? It ain't about protecting my kids. It's about her being right. It's about being powerful. It's about flexing muscle on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to protect my kids, man. You know, but you know what he did, though, don't you, Elwin? I went to jail. When all the biblical characters went to jail, what did they do? They stayed faithful, and they put work in. So that's what I did. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, man, so now what? Where are we now in this whole thing, man? So now you got this family. You find out that you got child support back on you. It's blocked your passport.
My license for Mississippi is supposed to be suspended April 28th of this year. I went ahead and changed my license to Massachusetts anyway, to avoid that, to at least delay that until I actually get into a courtroom. But they coming all out, and you know, anything she says is law. They don't do any background check or check to make sure that facts are straight. They just add it to the tally and just throw it onto his, you know, let's take it out of him. Either we're going to take it out of him or he's going to, you know, be serving, you know, jail time. Yeah. You know, so. Yeah.
So I want to tell you something super crazy. So I pretty much, what happened to me, Elwin, you know what I did? I broke a court order. You know what I'm saying? Because the law, which was her writing something down and saying it, which was, your kids didn't see porn. You're just fabricating all this, pretty much. And now it's law. But they ain't had a conversation with the kids. Ain't asked them. And even if you did, they don't know you. So why would they describe something like that to you? That's real deep. Why would they tell that to you? You feel me? But, like, reality is, like, the reality is, like, when they write it down, it's law. They did it with a pen. But here's the thing. I'm from that community. All right. I ain't there to work. I ain't there to make no money. I'm actually born and raised in the community where that family court scam building stands. And guess what? I got friends and actually teammates, you know, that actually go in and out of there. Like, I don't know, a lot of men in that community that have cases in there. So at the same time I'm in going to jail, I got a friend who's missing. He's missed 27 weekends with his daughter. Yeah, 27, right? I just went to jail for 14, I think. 14. And he's got 27. So when the judge sees his baby mom, who don't show up for the first one, and then finally come, nothing happened. Yeah, she's just giving a warning and nothing happens. And she's able to just follow the rule. 27, though. Nothing happened. This man, bro, this man cried, miss his kids. He's showing up each time, want to see his daughter, show up, want to see his daughter. So it's not really fair. But at the same time, I'm knowing I'm in jail from this same fucking building. But I know people in here who are, I know both parties there. I see them. I know these people. So how in the fuck, how? Explain it. His baby mom, smart as hell in high school. We know her. We grew up with her. She's smart. How did she not know the court order said come do this? 27 times? You see what I'm saying, Elwin? But I go to jail over 14. I got a reason. You ain't had no reason. You just did that to hold him up. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So, but it's okay, Elwin. We need to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? That's all that really needs to happen. We need to make sure your stepson knows. We need to make sure your friends know. We need to make sure you have a good, clear understanding of Title IV, Section D, and what's happening, bro, so you can go out and help the community and tell the next man. You know what I'm saying? For real, these folks scamming, dog. They're scamming. You, please, for the next month, 2 months, whatever, ask as many fucking people as you possibly can come in contact with if they've heard of Title IV, Section D, okay? And it's Roman numeral 4. So, Title IV.
Title IV?
Yeah. IV.
Section D.
D, yeah. IVD. Title IV-D. It's on our Constitution, bro. I'm telling you, man. And then they sneak it in the paperwork and they put it in small little letters so they never explain, yeah, we're making money on you. Because if they did, think about how upset your ex-wife would be if she knew that every child support payment was worth $2,400, not $500. She'd be pissed. Think about it. You know what I mean?
Sure would.
Think about it. Not just her, though, bro. Not just her. All the baby moms through all the years, they all got robbed. It's crazy. So, but when you see Kanye West on TV and he's getting hit with the heavy hit, and you like, damn, why is he getting hit like that? That's because Kim Kardashian is not, she ain't got no bridge card. For real. So, they're only getting 66 cents per each of his dollars, plus he's rich, so we need a lot. You know what I mean? Like that, man. It's dirty. It don't got nothing to do. However much the ticket is, it don't got nothing to do. It's crazy. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. It's pretty crazy. But anyways, man, so now what? So now what?
Man. I believe if all these women are held accountable for their actions, yeah, it could turn a lot of things around if they're held accountable. But they don't do anything to these women. They're out to help the women only. Women and kids, that's all they're there to help. They're not there to help the men. The man has to deal with stuff on his own, go out and, you know, pay all this money here, and, you know, they don't care what a man has to stay. You know, all his money could be going toward child support, but he still has to find a way to provide for himself.
Yeah. You want to know what? If these folks really, if they really wanted to make sure that you was who you said you was, you know what they'd do? And I don't think they should lock up dads. No way. But they would lock up a parent for not showing up for his time, not for his fucking money. If this lady show up to drop off her kid at the airport, like they said, during once a month or once every 2 months or however it would go, if you missed your visit, then let's talk about, man, all right, you out there living, you don't want to see a baby. But that's not what they do. They want the cheese. And all you need is support your kid. Okay, I hear that. But look, though, if it's really about the betterment of that baby, why are they getting the $2,400 and she only getting the five ball? That don't make sense to me.
No, that don't.
Because, again, I say it all the time, the community where they scam Oakland County, Michigan, where they scam my, where that county right there is one of the top richest counties in America, not just Michigan, Oakland County. And guess what they do, man? They come bring all those rich folks right to the one slum of the county. They bring them right to the one slum. And they bring them right there, rob them of everything, send them on their way. And, oh, hey, you got to look at the slums on your way out so you can hate that place a little more. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And no one knows what's going on. So I just feel like we all need to, know what's going on. We should be equipped with knowledge. You know what I mean? To at least understand. We pretty much are playing a game of football, which is highly dangerous. And you can lose your life out there just standing there. It's like you in an MMA ring with absolutely no experience, and you were fighting Anderson Silva. For real. You just standing out there. You in danger. You know what I mean? So.
Well, we all need knowledge.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's fair. It's fair, man. So when's the last time you saw your daughters?
It's been about 2 months since the last time I went to Mississippi. I'm supposed to be going back in May for my son's graduation. So I'm spending a week down there in Mississippi. So.
And then, so another question is, what's the longest you've been without seeing your babies and all of this?
As long as I've been, I think about 5 or 6 months.
Hey, man. But, and then how long ago did you leave Mississippi and all this take place?
I left Mississippi. It's been about 2 years since I left.
Okay. In these gaps of time without seeing and talking to him, how do you find yourself? I know you probably miss him. Like, how do you find yourself getting through that?
Well, you know, I've got both of them cell phones, so we do FaceTime and we do, you know, talk every day. If we can't talk, we'll, you know, send texts.
Okay, so you pretty much communicate with them definitely through the whole time. That's dope.
I'll definitely stay in touch. Definitely stay in touch every day. So,
oh, man.
Find out what he's doing, you know, what he's into, or, you know, sometimes we hit each other up on the game, PlayStation. You know, if he's playing a game or whatever, I'll hit him up and see if he want to join me in, you know, playing a game or whatever. So,
y'all play together.
So, we do the Overwatch to, you know, a couple of Call of Duty games. We do whatever we can find to do, you know, if we both have the same game or whatnot. But I'm shipping my car down there. I'm giving him my car for graduation.
Right. And this is your stepson.
No.
18-year-old son.
No, 18-year-old. He's graduating from the high school. So.
Oh man! Now see, and then what does he do, man? Talk to me about him a little bit.
Well, Alex, he got a job. He had a job, rather, until COVID hit, and he got laid off from that job, and now he's a substitute teacher for North Panola schools and down in Mississippi. So
the 18-year-old?
Yeah, 18-year-old is a substitute teacher. Yeah, he's already graduated. He graduated in December, but he's gonna walk with his class in May. So he's
Wait a minute.
He's doing pretty good.
Hold on. Nah, man. Because, look, you got to walk around, you know, feeling trapped with your head down, when in actuality, bro, you should be feeling like, you know, really, really, really good about yourself, man. For real, bro. Look what you did. Look what you did, yeah, bro. You.
I never had any problem with my kids. Never had any problems. They
okay.
Well-mannered and respectful. Yeah. And he shocked me when he told me, you know, he was, you know, had a job interview, and he tell you, I got the job. I'm now a substitute teacher for North Panola School District. And I was like, you go, boy. That's what I'm talking about. You know, don't sit around and let everything come to you. You go out and get it.
Dog, that is quite inspiring, dog. How hard is that? That's dog. Hey, man. Come on, man. Look, hey. And again, it's hats off to him, but like, what? Ooh, I mean, you literally just left 2 years ago.
That's true.
So, yeah. Like, the foundation, the base of that thing is concrete.
We were in a bad space when I left. We kind of grew once I moved out from the house. We kind of grew because I kept, you know, calling him and talking to him one-on-one, you know. And a lot of fathers, you know, they don't think it's manly enough to tell their son they love him, but I, you know, it was hard for me because my mom never told me, you know, she wasn't a hugging type to say, oh, I love you, this and that.
I get it, bro.
So I had to learn that, you know. But, yeah, I tell him I love him, and I'm proud of him, what he's doing, you know, and to keep it up.
Yeah. And I want to just stop there at that point for a second, man. Like, my mom really wasn't the type to tell me necessarily she loved me either, for real. Like, you know, and I remember taking note of it growing up, but it wasn't like nothing because, again, it was other folks in the world. Be like, you know, if other folks tell you, like, hey, love you, you know you love somebody, hey, like, you know what I mean? Ain't no thing. But the thing about it is, like, man, my motherfucking kids, man, I'm saying it 24-7. I'm saying 24-7. Because, you know what I mean? And, you know, there's a lot of love in there. Where you love it. Just because somebody isn't telling you one of your parents, for any of the dads out there, man, saying that you can't, you know, you ain't got to be like that. It's, you can look for other places to see where it's acceptable, man, and use it and learn from it, man. A football field, a football team, you know, a church, there's other, so many other places. I mean, it ain't obviously related to football, but it could be any sport. There's lots of love out there. Your friends, you know what I mean? Other family members. So, man, you can pick it up. You don't have to just focus on just, is it half empty or is it half full? Is it some water in that thing? We got it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah, man, so you were at a rocky spot with him when you left out of there.
Yeah, we were in a rocky spot. You know, mom pretty much had all the kids on her side. You know, I'm sure they saw what was happening and what was going on, and that was something I didn't even want them to, you know, to see. But I'm sure I was, you know, once I got out, I was marked as the bad guy.
Oh,
but,
yeah, you were, brother. You know,
But the only thing I did, I was saying, you know, they'll see. Once they, you know, grow up and realize, you know, what happened, they'll see that process. They might in their own lives, so, you know, of how, you know, it happened to me, it could happen to them.
Yeah, you know, so, buddy. Yeah, and, buddy.
You know, and then they would know what Dad had to go through. when he left the house, and so, but. You know, I let him know that I love him. You know, we talk, you know, just about every day. We don't, you know, we'll send text messages back and forth. We're both, you know, Cowboy fans. So, you know, when we are planning to go on a, you know, go on a trip to one of the Cowboy games this coming year. So,
how big of a Cowboy fan are you?
Man, I've been a Cowboy fan since high school. So,
you follow him closely.
I try to follow them as close as I can.
So you remember you. So if I talk football here for a couple split seconds, you'll be able to know what I'm talking about.
I should be able.
Okay, so let's talk 2014, the playoffs with Dez Bryant, with the Green Bay situation.
My God.
You remember that year?
I definitely remember that, yes.
Okay, sweet. Well, think about the game before that when you guys played the Lions. You remember that game?
The Lions.
We came to Dallas. We had a lead at halftime. You remember this?
I think so, yeah.
And then, towards the end of the game, it was a nasty, blatant pass interference on Brandon Pettigrew, right? And they threw a flag. And then they had a conference, right? They had a conference. Oh. Dog came back and say, yeah, we gonna pick the flag up. Actually, it wasn't a pass interference. The whole time, Dez Bryant is on the field screaming with his helmet off, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
So guess what, man? That's why y'all got gypped in Green Bay. For real. One more question about football, and I'll let it go. Look, hey, man, tell me and be honest. Who you got, bro? Barry Sanders or Emmitt Smith?
Ooh, man. I gotta go with Emmitt for. Well, let me take that back. That depends on what situation I'm in. But
Let me give you the situation. Both of them is behind the Dallas offensive line. So, put it in that situation. Give them both Dallas offensive line. How about that?
Oh, man. I'll probably go with Barry Sanders.
There it is.
I'll go with Barry. Barry was, I had to call him the untouchable.
Man.
They couldn't touch that man.
He never had a good offensive line, man. And I wish, like, no, I wish we,
they
you know, I wish,
that man to death.
Yeah, I wish
they running him to death. I would have got tired too and told him, look here, hey, y'all ain't doing nothing to help me out, and y'all keep doing these running plays for me and wearing me out. No, I quit.
You want to know something else that's a part of the Barry Sanders story that I wish I could learn more about? Barry Sanders is—he went through a divorce. You know what I'm saying? He went through a divorce, and I think it could have been around that time. I'm not exactly sure, but like, look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't have a losing season until that lady did. Till he went through. You know what I'm saying?
He went to hell in high water, and that man couldn't throw a brick.
Yeah. But it wasn't that he can't play anymore. It's just that look, it took that for him to be like, all right, fine, then I'll walk away. But he was primed to keep going. He was in the zone.
Yeah, he was still going. But like they say, he chose football over family.
Yeah.
Man, had the worst season I ever seen him have, you know, but. Yeah, and who knows what was going on in his mind. I mean, this man was going through a divorce and whatnot, but I don't think he was focused. He couldn't have been.
Yeah, man, I think that, man, you know what I mean? It's just hard to say. Yeah, he's been playing football my entire life. You know what I mean? The entire time, I'm 33, so my entire existence. Now, he's been in the NFL since I was 10 years old. You know what I mean? So it's like, dang, man. He's been doing, that's part of his lifestyle. He built his family while he was doing that. That's who he is. That's a part of his identity, everything he does and love. As a football player and as an athlete, it can be hard to just walk the hell away from what you love and what you get, everything you get from that. You know, nobody gets to play no 20-something years. That's rare. You know what I mean? So, man, unless you
couldn't adjust to that. You know, you working out every day, throwing, and you know, and then all of a sudden you sitting on the sideline and nothing to do. You at home, you know, watching it on TV. That's like, I can't imagine that, doing that. You know.
Mm-hmm. So, has it been getting better with your son? With your son, Alex?
It's been getting better. I'm actually giving him my Dodge Charger, because Chargers have no business up here in Massachusetts. I don't know why I brought it up here, But I was sending that back to him, and you know, if we was in a bad place, I probably wouldn't even done that. But he's really came on. Now the oldest son, Terrence, the 21-year-old, we haven't really connected. You know, he's kind of like isolated. He likes to be, you know, on his game, in his TVs. You know, he's like in solitude, you know. But I told my son, I sent a text to Terrence, and he never replied. He said, don't feel bad because, I mean, I'm in the right room right next to him. Or I text him and he, you know, don't reply. When I talk to him, he said, oh, I forgot to reply, you know, this and that. But it's not only me, so I mean, I'm trying not to be too hard on him.
Right,
I still
right.
send him text messages to know that I'm thinking about him, you know.
Right.
But I'm, you know, sure his mom will put into his head, like, that's not your daddy, you know.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 you know, but.
Yeah, but dog, listen, man, there's always this thing we got, and it's called memory. And when he's 45, and when he's 48, he's going to remember it like, damn. Elwin was there every day. Elwin was there. I'm talking about through them school. Elwin was there picking out school clothes. Elwin was there when I asked if I could go to my friend's house. Elwin was there the first interaction. You know, all the little things. Elwin was all the things. I don't give a fuck if he like chess club. I don't care. When you get thinking back about his first Xbox, Elwin was there. We think about the best time he had, the most fun he had on that damn Xbox that night, that day, like the best memorable day he got in his Xbox history. Elwin was there.
That's true.
For real. And this will never change, Elwin. I don't know where you were, if you were at work, in your room, chilling, if you were in the bus, whatever. When his friend came over to play the game, Elwin was there. All the shit that's cool to him when it first started, Elwin was there. Minus, you know what I'm saying? Whatever happened in the past 2 years. But by 19, you got all your stuff. Like, you are about who you doing at 21, you still do most of that. What you did at 19, you still do at 21. It's probably a lot of it. You know what I mean? A lot of that stuff, man, from before, Elwin was there. 11 months. Elwin, you did all the work. You just gonna bail on this man once he, what you just used him to raise your baby? That don't make sense. That's not fair. You can't do that. Oh, well, I just got the girl. No, I could just dip one baby. That ain't hard. Come on, man. That ain't right. How you just gonna quit on him? You know what I mean? That ain't right, man. Talk to him, man.
The funny part that, you know, after my son, you know, we were in a bad spot and we were gonna split up then, but. See, I went to go get her tubes tied, and the doctor took that from her and handed her a pregnancy brochure on the same day that she had went in there to try to get her tubes tied. And it's hilarious now, but it wasn't funny then. But that's when my daughter popped up, the youngest popped up. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, God wasn't done, because check this out. There's work to do. That's not no mysterious thing, because that brings us all to here. Because check this out, Elwin. If that thing right there did not happen, that moment didn't happen, then bro, then your son's 18 right now. All this child support talk, all this is, oh, it's, I mean, they'd still want some, but most of it would be over. She's 12. There's still time here. The state of Mississippi is going to want from you for a little bit here. I'm believing this is set here. Like, now we're in, and now we in each other's past. Now is a reason is you to learn this, and you are going to help with the move the needle. You got to help people too. Your two sons have to know. Terrence, keep to yourself, son. Go ahead, but like, you need to know what's going on, because eventually you're gonna want a girl. You know what I mean? And you're going to want to start a family. You're going to want to come out of your room. Maybe you guys play Xbox together. Something. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to have to take a risk. And with that risk could come something like this. You know what I'm saying? And you can't think about it in a 2-week span or 2-month span or 2-year span. Because when Terrence was 2 years old, things was all right. You got to look at it down the road, man. Loyalty down the road. You know what I mean? That, it's pretty deep, but it's like, man, yeah. Okay, so as we conclude here, there's a couple things I did want to run through and ask you about. So, okay, so what now as far as custody? Are you thinking about going to get, like, more custody of your 12-year-old daughter, or are you thinking about going back in there pro? So, obviously not pro se, but are you thinking about going back in there?
I am thinking about going back, moving closer to Mississippi in order to spend more time with my kids. But that's going to be probably another 2 years, I would say.
Right. What made you pick Massachusetts?
Picking Massachusetts was my friend, my girlfriend now. She is in the Greek life. She's a house mother. So she moved up this way, and I, doing that long-distance relationship wasn't going to work. So I needed a fresh start, and I took the opportunity to you know, try to find a fresh start up here in Massachusetts. And this is where I've been. So everything is, you know, it was a big change for me, a boy coming out of Mississippi into the, you know, big city, quote unquote, you know, places that I never think about that I would be or trying to work at, actually coming true up here in Massachusetts. I'm actually, even the money, you know, the money is better up here than it is down south. I guess that's why everybody works up here and then, you know, retire down south. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm definitely moving back, you know, toward Mississippi area, probably in Memphis area.
Ooh.
So that I'll be able to, you know, see my daughter and son a lot more than we can. Because I think the age is 21 in Mississippi. Before you're off child support.
What?
I think up here in Massachusetts is 18. Once they turn 18, so. But, you know, about 21, and then I'll
21? What? 21. What? This, wait a minute. 21. Whoa. 21, they close 3 more years off that thing.
So that man can be working, have a full-time job. Supporting his mom or whatever else at 21, but I mean, at 18, 19, have his own life, but oh, they want you to pay until 21. 21 what? Years old.
Dog, what the fuck? What? Dog, what? That's something I got to look into deeper, dog. I wonder how many stuff. What the fuck?
Look into that. Massachusetts is 18. And Mississippi, they want to hang on to you until you're 21.
Oh, well, you see why now. You see why. You know what I'm saying? You see why. Title IV, the IVD.
Oh, yeah.
This the real thing. They want to get and collect every buck. Man. So, okay. So, what's the biggest thing you've taken away from this whole thing?
The biggest thing is not to go into any situation without a lawyer. Is what I got from it. That can save you a lot of heartache and a lot of drama in the end if you at least have a lawyer. I didn't think I needed one because I was like, okay, we agreed on child support. We agreed on the house. You can have the house.
Right.
I'm just going to get all my stuff to leave. And I didn't really think I needed a lawyer, you know, at that time. And she had one, so...
Oh,
so even though I carry my son on my taxes every year, they told me I couldn't do that. But I spoke to another lawyer that told me, oh, yeah, you can do that because you're still paying child support and you're still supporting that child, so you should be able to still carry your child.
Right.
But I didn't have a lawyer there to try to push that, you know. And Mississippi judge, she wasn't having it. Everything was for the mother.
Oh, yeah.
Claimed, you know, So,
well, I want to tell you, man, I'm in Michigan, and no matter what I say, it's always looked at through the lens of mom is a good guy. You know what I'm saying? Hey, mom's got a warrant in here for talking about killing her kids. I can't see the warrant. I can't see the warrant till years and years pass, and the warrant's not relevant. Oh, now it's old. It's old. Like, wait a minute. That situation can be skewed. Oh, mom blacks her kid's eye. It's okay. She's a mom. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's
crazy.
Dog.
I've seen a couple situations where they took too long to get a child out of the house, even though they saw things that were going on, and the child wound up dying.
Yeah. Yeah, bro, we had a dad on here.
The system is so messed up.
Oh, man. We had a dad on here. His name was Thomas Bushman. He went in there. His wife beat the dog smoke out of him because he cut her payments off. He was giving her, like, weekly payments just to, you know, because she was a stay-at-home wife. She was pissed because he cut it off because she was blowing way too much. She was going deep in his pockets, blowing the mortgage. So check this out. He cut it off. She got pissed. Beat his ass, like broke his face in. You know what I'm saying? Teeth, all this. Then at the end of this thing, he tells me he's like 6'5", 300 pounds. I say, bro, no way. This little, she beat your ass like that, and you chipped his tooth, broke his nose. All he goes through this whole slew of shit, put his lip, tooth through his lip, all kind of crazy shit, right? So, so check this out. Comes back the next day, smashes his front window out, right? So this guy, a couple months later, he gets his kids, he goes in there, and his kids is bruised up from the bottom down, like whole lower half, bruised, like badly. So he tells the judge, listen, this looks like my face. Please, he's begging and crying, you know? Judge laughs at him. Fucking guy laughs at him, right? Because he doesn't care. He just wants him to pay. I forgot how much money he paid. He paid like $1,000 in child support. It was deep. Like, they were deep on him. Yes, a four son. One son that he does not get to pay. Now, I got custody of my kids. The judge ordered my child's mother to pay $148 for two children that she never saw for a long time and beats on. You feel me? $148, that seems pretty favorable to me. You feel me? The state number is 400 and something. But discount, double check. You know what I mean? 148 on them. Walmart rollback season. Every day is Black Friday at the 1200 building. You know what I mean? For real. So, like that. But like, so let me tell you. So listen, a couple weeks after that court date, guess what happens? This little kid, his son, swallows a heroin needle and fucking dies. And guess what? When his son dies, the mom is trying to hurry up and get him cremated. So now, because it turns out, like, the dad finds out, turns out that the lady was taking that money she had while she was with him, and she was giving it, blowing it with the heroin dealer, bringing it back, shopping with him, fucking him, you know what I'm saying? She ended up with him afterwards. Yeah, so check this out. The kid swallows a heroin needle, and now he's in court fighting for a corpse of his son that he tried to save. And he wins, and then they do the autopsy. He's doing all this for an autopsy. He gets the autopsy, and they find the fucking heroin needle lodged in his throat. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, they did a survey and showed that I think like 80%, or it might even be more, of the mothers that get child support doesn't affect the child in any way. Anything goes toward the child. It goes toward what the mother is doing, getting her hair done, nails done. They did a percentage on that. Yeah. I can't quote exactly where it was or whatnot, but the majority of that money does not even go toward the child and anything. It goes toward whatever the mother is doing.
Yeah, let's scan over it real quick. Check this out. If you got two baby dads and each one of them is ordered to pay $500, that's $1,000. If you're on and you got Section 8 housing where and you're on a program where your bills are pretty much all low, and then your rent is nothing but $100, and then let's say you do got a little small job. So your small job is gonna pay for all your little petty bills. The rest is all pros. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and in reality, you don't even know if they pay $1,200, if they each pay $5, that means you're missing out on $4,800 a month from that those judges you think are your friend, because in our state they call it friend of the court, but all men who live here know they ain't our friend. So who friend you talking about? So the judges that they think that are they friend, right? is really collecting $4,800 every time you get the little petty, you get the $500 from each. Like that. You know what I mean? It's crazy, man. So look, I do want to wrap this up before you. I'm sorry, man. So look, if you could say something right now, man, to a dad who is in your position, man, out there, what advice would you give to him? Let's say he hears you, he hears your story, and he's like, damn, man, like, this guy got through it, and he seems to have a really positive attitude. Like, he did everything he could, and he feels like he's in a good spirit. What would you say to him, man, to give him some advice?
Giving some advice, I would say don't give up. I mean, no matter how bad things look, there's always something that you can do to try to put a positive effect on whatever the situation is. Don't ever give up fighting mm-hmm. for your kids mm-hmm. because that's something that you only live life once. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you also got to live your own life, you know. You'll have courts coming after you. You have everybody coming after you trying to get money, and you shouldn't let that dampen you. You should actually, live your life and always have a lawyer. Please always have a lawyer. but never stop fighting for your kids. Mm-hmm. That's part of you there. Mm-hmm. And always fight for your kids, no matter what the situation is.
Yeah, man, I think that's great advice. So on the flip side, if you could give advice to a mother out there, man, who may be like alienating a kid, or let's say, man, she's a married wife and she's cheating on her husband and she's listening to this podcast just to get a leg ahead up on what to do, or, you know, it could be wrong reasons. What advice would you give to that mom out there who's on the flip side of these situations? What advice would you give there?
Just tell them, you know, don't use your kids as a weapon, you know, and, please allow that father to be in that child's life. Right. And that affects that child. It may not look like it at that moment, but it affects that child. And they may grow up to hate you for it, the mom for it, you know, for holding them back away from their fathers. So, put down your differences and set aside everything, and it's for the kids. That's why you file for child support.
Right.
In most cases, it's for the kids. So, also that's for financial. So try to help them out mentally and allow them to keep in touch with their fathers.
Right.
Because a lot of kids now are lost because they don't have a father figure. Mm-hmm. They turn to crime, and a lot of them don't know how to be a man, so it's don't add to the cycle,
I think that's
the power to feed their child.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, man. Just, if you see it, don't take advantage of it. You know what I mean? You got to start making change. I don't think this needle to this movement is going to move until the same way how we had to stand up against domestic violence against women. Men, we had to stand up against each other and be like, yeah, no, not for real. If you just going around just beating on women, one of my uncles saw a group of men. He saw a guy actually beating on his woman on the side of the freeway here in Detroit. It was actually in Hazel Park. They call it Hazel Tucky. But he jumped out the car and just started trying to help, And my uncle, he could scrap a little bit. And a little bit, a lot of it. So he hit the dude, But not realizing that dude, it was other people in his car that jumped out with a bat and then whacked his ass and beat him up good as hell. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he was just trying to help. But, like, the fact that he saw that and he wanted to stand up, And it still could have turned out bad. Like, that, there could have been a gun involved, not a baseball bat. But that dad actually is a hero, man. That dad I'm talking about who jumped out to save that lady, that dude is a hero. He's a good-ass dad. So, like, anyways, man, it's pretty deep. So check this out, man. We need those women to stand up against what's happening to to dads and what's happening in the family court. We also need to teach them, your youngest child, she needs to know about what's happening in these family courts, man. So not only can she do all she can and to stay away from this place, but she can teach all the young, all her friends, all her peers, we need more voices, more young voices teaching younger generation about what the hell is happening.
That's true.
While we're on the topic of your kids, the last question I have is this. If you could conclude this podcast saying something to them, what would you say to them?
I would say to the kids, I know it's tough. I know it's hard on you, and it's not your fault that parents are splitting up. A lot of kids blame themselves for it, but it's not your fault. And everything your mom says about your dad is, you can't believe everything you hear. So, and if your dad's trying to reach out to you, you'll give him a chance, because everything your mom says is not entirely accurate. So, and just know that your dad loves you as much as your mom does. So, mm-hmm. If I was talking to kids, I would tell them just, keep their heads up, and once they get older, they'll realize and they'll see, exactly what the dad was going through, mom and dad was going through.
Right. Yeah, man. And I think that's great advice, man. I think that's great, man. And if your kids do hear this, man, they do need to know, man, that, hey, man, like, this is a real thing. Like, you didn't really have much option. You get one, you know what I mean? When you're in these situations, this system is not set for you to do anything but be a victim. And the problem is that even though you're super smart, the smartest of the smart, I've been finding, have no idea about this child support scam. And it's not fair. And it becomes a scam when you hide the money. That's when it's a scam. That's when it's a scam, because no one knows how much money is involved. You love the NFL. That's a $10 billion a year in a business. I like the NBA. I like the NFL, too. I'm a football player. But I like the NBA. That's a $10 billion a year business. Family court is a $50 billion a year business. People need to know they're doing four times what these two leagues are doing. We know those players. We need to know how they playing, too, man. It ain't fair. So, listen, man, I definitely appreciate your time and your energy on this podcast today. Anytime you ever need to have somebody, you need somebody to talk to, man, there's plenty of dads. You can reach back out to me, whatever the case may be. Add me on Facebook. We're friends now, bro. I'm a comment on your stuff, like your post. Hey, man, make sure you keep your head up. And again, man, I really do appreciate all your time today.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it, Jake.
Yep, talk to you soon, all right?
All right, take care.